Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
So let's get into the Word this morning. We're going to go to two places in particular, Proverbs 27 and Proverbs 21. We've been looking specifically at living a life of generosity. We believe that God has called us to live a life of generosity. Do you remember when Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive? Another version says it this way, that more blessings come from giving than receiving. And that's where we want to live. We want to live in that blessing of giving. We want to be able to give when a need arises. But that doesn't just automatically happen. There has to be a plan in place. And so we started the money talk. I forgot that last week, so I wanted to make sure I did that again this week. So for effect, we're going to make up for last week. And so I know a lot of people get turned off when you talk about money, especially in the context of church. But the bottom line is in spite of all those things, the reality of it is that when money finds its way into the hands of the righteous, the Bible said the city rejoices. Why? Because the more money the righteous have, the more God's will be done in the earth. And so what we have to realize is that there's too much at stake for us to be ignorant concerning money. And so we've been asking the Lord to help us in the area of money. There again, it's not for the purposes to gather and gather and gather for only ourselves and for our needs and wants, but so that we can have resource to be able to fund those things God wants us to do in the earth and push back Satan's realm. Amen. And so today what I want us to look at is this thought, planning for harvest. We've been talking a lot about the plan. Today we're going to get into the plan. So we've entitled our message, Planning for Harvest. Now, every farmer knows that harvest just doesn't happen. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if all of a sudden the farmer just woke up one morning and the fields were all full of vegetables and ready to harvest? I'm sure that a lot more people would be in the farming business if that's how it worked. But it doesn't work that way. It takes planning to be able to produce a harvest. And the truth of the matter is, when we're talking about a harvest of generosity, the same applies. It doesn't just automatically happen. We need to have a plan to distribute those wages. And not just any plan, but a plan that will create a harvest of generosity in our lives. And so we start with a budget. Our text today, Proverbs 27, let's start there. 27 and 23, the Bible says, be diligent to know, or in other words, pay careful attention to the state of your flocks and attend or watch after your herds. Now, though I understand that we're not a farming community, because that's who he was talking to in that time, the principle that he's giving here is the same for us. And what he's saying is, know the condition of your estate or of your resource. He's saying, manager, be diligent to watch over, to be careful, to pay attention, to manage your money and do it well. Verse 24, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. In other words, it doesn't last forever. How many understand that the financial market has ebbs and flows? And so during those ebbs and flows, when the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide clothing, the goats provide the price for fields, and you will have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. So what's he telling us? He's telling us that if we manage well, in other words, if we're honoring God in our finances, that regardless of the ebbs and flows, that our needs will be met. And he goes even further than that, and he says that there'll be something that's left over so that we can take care of others. Proverbs 21, another part to us is given. Good planning and hard work lead to plenty, but those who are hasty will surely come to poverty. So here we see that good planning plus hard work equals plenty. What's interesting to me is that hard work in and of itself is wonderful, but it's not enough. We have to add to our hard work planning. And when we do so, then we'll have harvest. Amen. And that part of that plan there again is this thing called the budget. So let me, before we jump in, emphasize one more time the reason that we need a budget is because the budget gives the structure from which we're able to manage God's blessings. And we do so in a way that produces a harvest of generosity. So if we have no budget, or if we're unbalanced, if you will, in our budget with unhealthy spending, we're always going to struggle in this area of generosity. And if that's you, I want to ask you honestly this morning to consider this simple thought. Is it possible that God is awaiting proper structure in your finances to be able to place His blessing upon? And once the structure's in place, more blessing will flow. Now, there again, I realize that each of us have different callings, needs, responsibilities, and so on. And so because of that, your budget will more than likely look different than anyone else's. So we're not going to necessarily look at individual spending per se, but what we're going to do is we're going to look at four components that every budget should have. And so to help us to picture this a little bit better in our mind, what we're going to do is we're going to consider them pillars. And so we're going to look at four pillars that generosity stands on. And here's those pillars. Number one is the tithe. Number two is saving. Number three is sowing. And then number four is living. So we're going to get a basic overview, if you will, and then we'll kind of dig into it just a little bit deeper. So after you've worked all week and you receive your wages for labor, after you've received those wages, what do you do with them? You have the tithe, 10%. You have the savings. Let's just put in there also 10%. Then you have the sowing, which let's just go ahead for now and put in there 10%. And then you have the living, which is the remaining 70%. Now, before you freak out, because you may be here thinking this morning, well, I can't even live on 100%. How am I going to live on 70%? Now, what I'd like for you to do is stay with me to the end, because we're going to get there. But I know that the budget can be intimidating, and there's all kinds of reasons why. And they can be very legitimate reasons as to why a budget can be very intimidating to someone. Let me just give you something simply to think about and to ponder. I would ask you to start with this simple thought and honestly evaluate yourself. A lot of times the budget is horrifying, not because we're bringing structure to our money, but because we're bringing structure to our heart. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, or where your money is, that's where we'll find your heart. And so here's simply what he's telling us, is your heart decides where your money's gonna go. Now, I want you to listen to this simple thought right here. Money doesn't care where it goes, but baby, your heart sure does. Your heart cares deeply because all of those desires that it has, that money is going to make those desires possible. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today, what you have to understand is it comes down to a heart issue. It's not a money issue. And so the heart is where those desires are coming from. And the money makes it possible for us to be able to live those desires out. And listen, whether you're aware of this or not, you need to be. Your flesh and its earthly desires will fight you tooth and nail to get its own way. And listen to this. This may be shocking to some, but nevertheless, it is the truth. Your flesh will fight you tooth and nail, even to the point to where it will damn your soul to an eternal hell just to get its own way. Powerful thought, scary thought, yet it's true. That's why Paul said, I bring my body under subjection to God and to His will for my life. And it is a constant battle. And so if we're going to live a life of generosity and have real contentment, then we're going to have to do the same thing. And how you budget your money is going to be the fruit or the evidence of where your heart really is. So let's start today when we're talking about our budget with the first pillar, and that is the tithe. So what is the tithe? The word tithe in the Bible literally means tenth or 10%. And so what happened is that God set it up so that they would bring a tenth of all of their crops and herds and so on to the temple. And so if I had a $100 bill, how much of that $100 bill would be a tenth? $10. If it's $1,000, how much? It would be 100, right. If it's 50 cents, how much would it be? 5 cents, right, exactly. And so a tithe is a tenth. But it's not just any tenth. The Bible is very specific about the tithe. The tithe is the first tenth. Look at this, Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. And so here, I'm sure that you've probably seen this. I have 10 $10 bills. So that's $100, right? So let's say this past week, this was my wages for the labor that I did, $100. So tell me something, which one of these $10 bills is considered the tithe? Okay, so is this the first one, or is that the first one? Or is that the first one? Which one is first? The tithe is the first one that leaves my hand. Now, you may or may not agree, and that's okay. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to, there again, take some of this in, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on it. So the tithe is the tenth. The tithe is also the first, which would be the first one that leaves your hand. This is what God said. Now, if you don't write the tithe as the first check from your wages, is the Lord going to burn your house down? No, of course not. That's not how the Lord works. So your probably next thought is, well, why in the world does it matter? First of all, it matters because God defines the tithe and says that it's the first. But there's a deeper reason, which there again, when you're dealing with God, there's always layers to His truth. And there's always going to be a reason why He says what He says. And so here's what it is God not only wants to be first in our lives, but He deserves to be first in our lives. So why would this have to be first? There again, it comes to a heart issue. Because here's what happens. Because money creates an avenue to fulfill those desires in our heart. And so when we place God first and we act upon it, what are we doing? We're making a bold stand that God is first in my life and that I am placing Him first as my provider. Not my job, not an earthly system. But I am trusting God with my first. Whatever leaves my hand first is going to go to God regardless. Why? Because He deserves my first. And so He's first in my life. And so I trust Him, not my abilities or my job or any of those things. Not only that, but check this out. I'm going to place God first over my desires. That is what we struggle with on a daily basis. So when you put the tithe first, what you'll find begins to happen is that begins to orient your heart towards God and towards giving. Thirdly, the tithe is God's. Look at Psalm 24 and 1. The earth is the Lord's. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. Not only that, but everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So everything is God's, including the tithe. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we don't pay our tithes because God is not our employee. Nor can we buy anything from Him. Now, that also means that we don't give our tithes to Him because it's already His. So what do? With these tithes, well, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us exactly what we are to do. We are to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So what we do is we bring back to God a portion of His blessing upon our lives. Well, aren't you just being picky? And aren't you just playing games with words? Well, it really isn't, simply because the reality is that, yes, everything is the Lord's. But here's the thing, is what we have to understand is that we are stewards, not owners. In other words, we manage on the owner's behalf the resource that He's given to us. Too often, people act as if they are owners. Now, the Lord gives us total 100% permission. Like I said, if you don't tithe, if you don't write that out for your first check, and so on, so on, so on, He doesn't come and burn your house down. He doesn't kill your dog. He doesn't make sure that your refrigerator quits during church. Yeah, of all the times, it quit during church and I lost all kinds of food. No, the Lord doesn't do that. He gives us 100% free will to do whatever we want with every bit of the resource that He blesses us with. Even though it's His, even though He's supposed to be first, it's completely and 100% up to us. But the reality of it is that we are stewards and not owners of His blessing. And so when I understand that everything really is, including the tithe, the Lord's, what happens is that reminds me that He is God and that I am His steward. So what does that do? That prepares my heart to maintain a position of openness towards Him and His direction. So let's press on. So Leviticus chapter 27 and 30. So God not only says that it's first, it's not only a tenth, but He lays specific claim to the tithe. It's His. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. We know it all belongs to the Lord. Why is He putting that in there? Because He says, it's holy unto me. In other words, there's a portion, though it all is His, there's a portion that has been consecrated unto Him. What does that mean? That means it's set apart for a specific reason. What is that reason? The reason is this, is that tithe is provision. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but let's go over it again very quickly. 3 and 10, Malachi chapter 3 and 10. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, during this time in Scripture and prior to, they were not bringing in the tithes and so on into the temple as God had told them to. And so because they were in rebellion against God in the tithe for so long, the temple had come to the place where it was not able to help those who were in need. And it got so bad, even the priests were going hungry and had nothing for them or for their families. So they actually had to leave their God-appointed place to try to find food and to try to find help. And so the whole temple system was in upheaval. Now, we look at it today like, well, what's the big deal? Because most pastors are bivocational, and I show up if I can or not. You know, we don't really fully understand the depth of what's being said here. Because in these times, the temple was where the needs were met of those who were hungry and those who were didn't have. And so because of that, there were people that were in dire need. I mean, they were on the rocks anyways, and there was no help for them because the temple had no resource. It was also a place to where people's sins were sacrificed for and covered. It was where they were educated concerning the laws of Moses and how they should treat one another and how they should treat God and how they should live in the earth. And there was literally a whole section of people called the Levites that weren't able to be provided for. What we have to remember is that when the tribes were given the promised land and the land was divided up, the priests were not given any of that because their portion, or their provision, if you will, the way that they was able to provide for themselves and for their family was through the tithe. They didn't have land to go out and could sell and barter with or grow or so on, so on. Their provision, and you read it several places in Scripture, that the Levites were to be provided for through the tithe because that was their promise from the Lord. It wasn't a portion of the land. It was the tithe. They were to devote their lives to kingdom business. And so besides all that, the temple represented the presence of God. And so this whole system was in shambles because they'd forgotten God and they didn't tithe. So let's press on. What about saving? Well, the second pillar for generosity is the savings. Now listen to this. The Federal Reserve came out with a report that said that almost half of all Americans don't have enough cash on hand to deal with a $400 emergency. And more than half of all households couldn't live without their income for 1 month without having to borrow. And yet the Bible says this, Proverbs 13 and 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I don't believe that everyone that can't do that is a bad person. I think it's just simply because maybe we're not planning to be able to do that. And so the way that we fight against this is through an effective budget that makes room for the future. A lot of people seem to be able to live in the moment. They're real good in the moment with that impulse thing, and they buy by impulse and so on. But what we have to keep in mind is that the future is getting here faster than it ever has before. It really is. And you say, well, Pastor, well, what about the rapture? And I believe even before this service, Jesus could come back. And so we live with that expectation, but we plan for the future. And God will give you instruction on how that is specifically for you. And so what I think kind of will help us when we're talking about financial future is to look at it like the farmer thinks about his crops. And here's what he says. If I want to harvest in the fall, I better plant seed in the spring. Because it just doesn't happen. And so what should our posture be like the farmer? If I want to harvest then, I better start planting now. You know what they say? They say, what's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. Amen. What's the second best time to plant a tree? Today. Yeah, but Pastor, you just don't understand. I just don't have that much to save. Well, listen to what the wealthiest man that ever lived said. Proverbs 13 and 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A little bit. But it grows. It grows. Sure. Proverbs 21 and 20. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. What is he telling us? He's saying that the foolish live for the moment, but the wise plan for the future. And that future is built one brick at a time. The third pillar to generosity is sowing. Now, when we talk about sowing, we're talking about being able to bless others for kingdom business. And there again, the context of that is very important. This is where we're able to give over and above our tithe into every good work. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. But just as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And then he gives us a little bit more information just a little bit further down as to how we do that. He said in chapter 9 and verse 7, each one should give what he's decided in his heart or what he has planned to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, God loves a cheerful giver. See, they were setting aside a portion of their goods to be able to give an offering to Paul when he came. Why? So that he could help those Christians who were in need in Jerusalem. So it had a specific context, but it also had a specific promise. And look at this in verse 8. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Do you remember we talked about these scriptures in previous parts of this series? So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll be able to abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower, that's who? That's the Lord. That's not your job. A job is an avenue by which he gives you strength to work and in the sense to do what you're supposed to do, yes. But it's all because of God. Help me out, somebody. Amen. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply what? Seed. And increase your what? Your store of seed or your capacity to sow. It will enlarge in the harvest of your righteousness. And so you'll be made rich in every way. Don't get caught up on rich, because you may not consider yourself rich, and yet in God's eyes you are, because your needs are being met and you are having something left over to be able to give to someone else. Amen. He said he will make you rich in every way. And here's why. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, it'll result in thanksgiving to God. And so here we see that the seed for harvest of generosity is the offering that's given for the sake of the gospel. You need to chew on this. There again, you may or may not agree, but I would ask you to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom on this. And hear me out, because a lot of people think that they're sowing seed when they're really not, because it's not falling under the definition of what God says seed is. We consider the tithe seed when the tithe isn't seed, it's just returning back to God what He's already given you. Yes, He will help you and He'll make sure that a lot of things are in place, but that's not the seed that we're talking about. A lot of people think that helping in certain situations is seed that's sown, when it really isn't. That's just love. That's out of a heart of compassion. And we're to do that without any type of return. And that's what Jesus said, right? That we don't expect that, but we can expect harvest on seed. And He's telling us that seed is over and above the tithe, and it's given in light of the gospel. And so when we sow that kind of seed, God will increase our capacity so that we'll be able to sow more, even to the point to where you'll be able to sow on every occasion. Have you ever had something come by and it really struck in your heart and you wanted to give, but you just didn't have? If you want that to not happen anymore in your life, plan today. Set it in motion. You'll give God structure enough to place His blessing on that won't implode you, but that you'll be able to stand up under it and operate in His will for your life. And so the fourth pillar is living. And this is where we take the remaining part of our wages and budget out our living expenses. You know, rent, food, clothing, gas, so on, so on. And so that's really more specific to you. And so we're not really going to necessarily get into detail, but I do want to give you two truths that I want you to consider as you're laying out your budget for your living expenses. The first one is found, and we already read it earlier, but it's important that we read it again. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your money. Simply meaning, regardless of what you do with your money, make sure that you don't bring shame to God, but that you honor Him. And that you lift up His name. Secondly, 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul writes to him and he gives him this instruction to pass on to those whom he's responsible for in his church. And he says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his own family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Make sure that as you are budgeting your living expenses, you do so in a way that provides for the needs of your family. So in our closing moments today, I want to give us just a few guidelines concerning these four pillars, if you will. And it's important for us to remember that each pillar is specific in purpose. So each one is going to have a specific guideline for it. The tithe, number one, the first pillar of the tithe, is for the church, not just any church, but the church that God has called you to be a part of, to attend. We're not to divide our tithe amongst all kinds of ministries that we may like, and as wonderful as they may be, the tithe does not belong there. It belongs here. If you send it there, it's not a tithe. We're not to divide or designate our tithe to specific funds or activities in the church that you attend. And here's why. Because the tithe is intended for unencumbered resource for the church to fulfill its mission. Now, the savings is for future. I realize we have a lot of definitions for savings, and that's fine. You have an emergency fund, or you have your saving for a car, or you're saving for this or that. This particular savings that I'm talking about today is specifically for future. So that creates specific guidelines for this part of our budget. So we're saving for our future. So this type of savings is part of the inheritance part of your legacy, what you're going to leave your children and your children's children. Why? So that they can live for purpose without the constraints of lack or debt. There again, it's not to heap on themselves foolishness, because what'll happen? The Lord will take that wealth and put it into the hands of someone who will
And so what do? We train them up in the way that they should go, and we help them to understand that the things I'm leaving you is so that as the Lord tarries, you're able to function in your purpose. Can you imagine your children not having to worry about lack, not having to worry about debt, not having to worry about being able to give because of your hard work and planning? Help to set them on a path to where they were able to do that. That's what we're talking about with saving. So that portion of savings goes into non-depreciable assets. In other words, you don't save it for a car because a car is going to be long gone and it's going to lose valuation. So it goes into non-depreciable assets, those things that won't depreciate. Here's why. It's intended to create or build wealth. So you invest in those things, you put your savings in those things that will create or build wealth for the future. Now you can use it to help you get out of debt because there again, the faster you got out of debt, the more you'll be able to save. Listen to this, 8 out of 10 Americans have debt. And 7 in 10 believe that it's a necessary part of their lives. That there's no way we're going to live unless we have some form of debt is what it's saying. And I understand that many can manage debt well and that if you're starting business, I mean, there's certain times because debt isn't sin. It's not sin. But here's what the Bible says for his children is that we should be the lender, not the borrower. You understand what I'm saying? How does that happen? It happens through planning. And I'm not saying banks are the devil and all that because God gives men the ability to set these systems up to help us. And so I'm not going there. But what I am saying is when the day is done and when the dust settles, this biblical truth is still the same, whether you manage it well or not. The borrower is servant to the lender. And so there's going to be some portion of your life that the lender is going to determine because you owe. You got a car payment, you got a house payment, you got a credit card bill payment. So what are you going to do in the morning? You sure ain't going to sleep in. You're going to get up and go to work. Because the old saying, I owe, so off to work I go. Okay, so sowing is for the gospel. This is where we give into kingdom business. So we're talking about the tithe is for the church. Saving is for the future. Sowing is for the gospel's sake, for kingdom business. That's where we give. As God directs you, we give to those who are in need and to charitable organizations and so on. But we do so in light of the gospel. Very important we understand that. Because why? Because we want to sow in a way that produces harvest. And there's specific things that the Lord will ask us to sow into that will create harvest. Last thing, living. Living is for now, of course. It's for the day-to-day needs of our family. We always want to honor God and provide for our family. Nothing wrong with toys. Nothing wrong with vacations. Nothing wrong with cruises. Nothing wrong with cable TV. Nothing wrong with the fastest internet access in the world today. I mean, all those things are wonderful. It's nothing wrong with going out to dinner. All those things are fantastic and wonderful and provided for us to enjoy. But they cannot come at the expense of the needs of your family. As far as the percentages, I know this may sound hard, but there again, back to our example, the tithe is 10%. So the first that leaves my hand is the tithe. So that goes into the bucket. The tithe isn't 3%. I know you mean well in your heart and so on, but I think we need to understand the truth. And so the tithe is 10, bottom line. So then we've got the savings. So we're talking about, say we do the 10%. So there's another 10 we put in there. And then we talk about sowing. So we take another 10 and we put it there and we do so in order. I've seen it time and time and time again. What we do with our wages is everything goes into the now and we forget about sowing and we forget about saving and we forget about tithing. And if I have enough after I've done everything that I want to do with my money, we'll pitch it in and consider ourselves cool with God. As if it's protection money like the mob. Where should we start? We start here. First one out. Yes, is it going to take faith? You better believe it is. Is it going to take sacrifice? It sure will. But what are we wanting to do? We're wanting to create structure in our lives that produces something for our kids, that produces something that we can sow, and that produces enough for my needs to be met. And this is where it starts. So the tithe first, then I'm going to save for my future second, then I'm going to sow, then I'm going to live. Now the percentages of these, this is set, it's 10%, period. It's not my decision to make, that's God's. But these are negotiable. In other words, if right now, after you sit down and you figure everything out, and of the 90% that's left, you're living on 85%, well then you take the 2.5 here and the 2.5 here until you can build up. Where's that build up going to come from? It's going to come from here. You understand where I'm headed, right? One other thing that you want to make sure that you remember is that in these two, they should be equal. In other words, if you're going to sow 2%, then you should save 2%. Why is that? Because if you give everything, you'll have no future. And if you save everything, then you'll have nothing to give in the moment. And both are God's will. Does that make sense? I want to end today with this simple scripture. And we're coming full circle back to David when we talked about him building the temple. And the Lord said, no, Solomon is going to build the temple. So he brought Solomon in and he's shared these words with him that we've read on several occasions in 1 Chronicles 22. But what I've done is I've personalized them for us and I've made it in such a way that it reads like a prayer. And so this is my prayer over you today. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding concerning your harvest of generosity so that you will know God's wisdom for your finances and for your future. And as you walk from this day forward, may you have great success as you carefully follow after God's wisdom and leading. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord Himself is with you.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.